March the 3rd, 2015, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America, right here on God's good, great planet Earth. Thank you for joining me for another webcast. PJ, your internet pastor, here in Los Angeles.
What time is it? Oh my goodness.
It's 9:44. I've been busy. I had company and good conversations. Just good conversations. It's, you know, one of the things that keep me going in life. Oh my gosh. And my heart is overjoyed and blessed because of the semester just getting started. And I am thoroughly excited. Thoroughly excited. I'm showing a movie. You know, how far does love extend? How far does it go? My goodness. I, you know, as I was a pastor over a local congregation, I freely spoke about the love that I had for all of my congregants in the church. And I have to thank the God that I love and worship that my heart is so pleased to say that as I look around in each of my classrooms, in the eyes of my students, this old man has tremendous love for them. My heart is overjoyed as I speak about a concept and then show them a movie, and the movie translates it into living words. Oh, my friends, how much do I really want there to be a resolve to all this conflict that's in our lives? Well, you know, that conflict can disappear if we discover how far does love extend. just to figure that out would be a world of good for us, I'm telling you. PJ here. How far does it go with you? Do you ever find yourself saying, gosh darn it, whatever the case may be, I've reached my limitations with this person, that I've had it, that I'm not going to put up with it anymore, that there has to be something better than this? Have you ever felt that way? Or do you ignore the situation altogether and pretend that you love? And you saying, have you ever heard somebody use this expression? Boy, you about to make me lose my religion. Oh my gosh, I came up around that. That was a black euphemism. I mean, it was stated like butter should be swiped on toast. Yeah. You know, God knows my heart. Yeah, I used to say he definitely does. And he knows that it is desperately wicked. But thank you, students. If you listen to my webcast, you really bless my heart. You make me very, very happy. This semester, I'm pleased to say that I've met many Muslim students that I've spoken with. My God, you can feel the, what can I call it? The appreciation of my person as opposed to, well, you know. How far does love extend? I got to stay on the subject matter. But where is love shown in anyone's faith when there is competition to be more than Yahweh made you? Listen. Where is the love of God if anyone is attempting to compete with what God has done and to place themselves in that very same predicament? And if you recall the text of scripture that speaks about Satan and his famous I wills in the beloved book of the Old Testament of the Jewish Bible, where Satan says that I will lift my throne above the other stars of God, I will lift my place, I will set on the mount of the high, I will do this and that. That is what certain people's religion, that's what ISIS sounds like to me. You know, I'm gonna instill fright and hatred in you because you're human beings and the best thing that you want to do is to live. I pray, my God, in heaven, like the premier of Israel did in the Congress today. Did you see what his words did to the Congress? I just watched a clip on CNN because I don't watch television. I really don't. I would rather have a conversation with my friends. But I was amazed when I came in the office here and saw that, you know, he said, this is about the survival of our country, and I hope that you people will stand with us in that survival. And the Congress burst out in applause and appreciation for what the Prime Minister of Israel said. I guess he's a president. Netanyahu is his name. I hope I said that it right. But I understand that Obama didn't even watch it on his television, but then he gives a 15-minute speech letting the nation know that he wasn't pleased. Listen, Israel is a sovereign country. And a country that believes in God, that believes in justice. My God, it's a democracy, supposedly, like our land is. When I was a Christian man, I stood by Israel. I know that Israel is doing some criminal things. Please don't think that I'm an imbecile. We're doing criminal things. Every country in existence does criminal things to its citizens. Every country. My goodness. I don't know why people in my country, 'tis of the sweet land of liberty, to thee I sing. I love America, but the powers that be that motivate our country to get its young murdered on the sands of a foreign shore is preposterous. I mean, they were going to build an oil, extend some kind of oil pipeline from somewhere to somewhere in this country to bring us more. It was vetoed by Obama. Do you know how many Americans that could have given jobs to? Why would you cut out advancement in your own country? Change. He asked for it when they nominated him, and y'all elected him, so stop complaining. He's bringing some change. Things are not done the way they used to be done. They had voting today, or sometimes I've seen the polls up, or something's going on. And my goodness, the LAPD must have been on full alert today in South Central. Man, from me getting ready to go to work, you take one street, try to take another street, and then you got the policeman with two police, man. These are our own citizens, and it's like us against them. What happened in this country? I'll tell you what happened. Growth and population. Los Angeles, for those of you that don't live here, is overcrowded. They ought to do a documentary on that. There's too many people in this city. The driving on the streets is terrible. And people are getting more violent. I passed by an accident on the way to work this morning on the city streets on Manchester Avenue. And my God, two police cars and people standing around. Both of the cars tore up. I know what it was. They were both beautiful cars. Somebody made a wrong turn. Tore the back of one car completely up, smashed it in. And the police had to come because the citizenry probably went off. How far does love extend, huh? Oh, man. Look, I got a suggestion for you, you know. I went through something yesterday with two young men trying to give them some notes to live by. And I told them, you know, they asked me, why don't you leave us alone? I said, I'll leave you alone when you grow up and stop acting like women. I said, I'm not going to leave you alone. Seems like you're poking at us. You messing with us. Yes, I'm messing with you. I'm going to mess with you until you do something about your pathetic life. That's what I told him. What you mean stop messing with you? I said, you came to my house wanting to talk. Well, you're going to talk about what I want to talk about. I don't want to talk about no video games. That's not going to make you no money. I don't want to talk about your dreams and ambition. You look like you work at Disneyland. What, you living in Wonderland? Fantasyland. I'm going to be a star. I remember one young man hung out with me a lot. He says, I'm going to run my own clubs. I'm going to do this and that. And God's going to help me do it. I ask him, which God are you talking about? Man, please. How far do I extend love? Wait a minute. Had a horrible discussion with two young men, and one of them came back and put his hand out, shake my hand, said I was wrong the way I spoke with you. I shook his hand and I said, well, thank you. And I kind of brushed him aside and went into another room. And he came up to me, and guess what he said? I'm going to tell you what he said. He said, John. I said, yeah, what is it? He said, can't you just give me a hug to let me know that? And I said, oh, you want a hug? You want a love hug? Okay, come here. And I grabbed him and I gave him a love hug. Hugged him real close to my body. Put my hand around the back of his neck. Ran my fingers through his hair. I said, I love you, boy. I will always love you. We can have massive disagreements, but I will always love you. We would disagree as the far is far from the north as from the south, but don't ever question if I love you, my young brother. Always. I said, and know that when a person disagrees with you strongly the way that I do, to the point that I drove you out of my home with my indifference towards your ignorance, does not mean that I don't love you. I want you folk to get it straight out there. You've got to qualify what love is, because if you don't qualify what it is, you will never be able to answer the question correctly if they ask you, do you really love them? You see, and I knew that, and I hugged him. And there was a witness in the room, no foul play. I hugged him. And the witness says, I saw that man. I said, did you see the person jerk away from me? He said, no, man. It was like he needed that. I said, yes. See, I know what they need. Just like when I go into my classroom, I know my student needs this education to help them through life. Because I cannot hug them each personally like that, though I wish that I could. But the system that I work in would not understand that, because that's what's wrong with America. We don't touch and feel enough reality. The persons that get to know me on a deeper level experience that love, and they ask for it. And most of the time when I give it, and if you give love, you know what? Some of you are older people like me. You have children that you haven't spoken to in years. When that boy come by and he say, Pop, Papa, or whatever he call you, whenever he comes and say, Papa, because he don't know how to tell you that he got kicked out of school for cheating, and he's going to come and say, Papa, and you're going to say, boy, what you want? Papa, love me. Now, are you going to sit down in that chair and keep watching that stupid behind football game, soccer game, some foolishness, when you look up and see this 38-year-old guy is asking you to love him and you don't see it? How far do you extend your love? Man, you let one of my daughters call me crying. If the one in Chicago calls me crying and says, Daddy, I need to see you. I'm dying. I will call the school and say, listen, I'll be back on next week. Just dismiss my classes. Tell them to study the notes. I'm out of here. And I don't even like flying. I probably fly in my pajamas, and so I won't have to take off much. Because you know the way I feel about that. You see, we are living in those times, people. we are actually living in those times where you've got to show how love is extended. How would you love him, Papo? Huh? How would you love him? You go up to that boy and say, come here. Papo, I got to tell you something. And you see the tears coming in his eyes. And you wipe your boy's tears and you say, you know, Papo, here. But Papo, I don't know how to tell you. You just tell me. Papo, I know you're going to get mad at me. Not as mad now because you're talking to me man to man. Then you tell him why you got kicked out of college. Because that was a deal that you made with Papo, and so he would help finance you because you're having it rough. But you can't make it in college and you got put out. Now what you think? Your Papo's not going to love you? If he really loves you, he's going to say, Junior, we try something else. We try something else, Junior. The allotment is still there. Me and Mama would make it on what we got. You go ahead. But Papa, it's been 10 years. I don't care if it's 100. That's where God got us right now. And then when that boy finally make his way through everything, all of that, listen to me, when he makes his way, and he come and he said, Papa, they made me the foreman. You grab that boy and you hug him and you kiss him. You look at that little rascal. I don't care. He could be 41 now. But look at him. He's your offspring. Your son. Love him. Love him. Love him. Love him through the difficult times, people. Love him through the good times. Love him when her husband won't speak with her anymore because she isn't shaping up right. She has too much of this world in her. Love her. Love her through it. Yeah. Your boss doesn't like you because the rest of the crew loves you. Love your boss. I know it's difficult because when you try to come and befriend him, he's going to snap at you. That's his way. He's human. See, I'm going to tell you something. I learned something when I was following hard after God. Do you want to know what I learned? I learned that this is a give and take world that we live in. You got to give some love, and then you'll be able to take the benefits that God has for you when you love correctly. How far does my love extend? Just give me a chance to manifest it. Even during the worst of situations, when people treat you cruel, oh my gosh, when people treat you cruel, get used to the territory. Because that young man, he treated me cruel with another young man, but he came back. Because I remember when he sat around my table with me, and I said, so you want me as your mentor? And he said, yes, I do. You know what he told me? He said, I want to gain wisdom from you. Young black man in his prime. When I was his age, I was ready to get married to Lucy. That's how advanced we were back in the day. Now you can be 23 years old and you're acting like you're 13 or 14. We've missed 10 years in the breach somewhere. Our young boys want to be entertained instead of thinking about undertaking the care of a family. Our boys want to play war games instead of thinking about are they going to work on something to keep their sons from being plunged into world war hell for the sake of a handful of money whores that want to get rich through oil rights of another country's business. I know I sound like a traitor to my country, but my country, 'tis of the sweet land of liberty. Of she, I sing. Don't get it twisted. I know this sounds like a repeat tape going over and over again, but I love my country. And if I love my country, I can criticize her. I have no other country. Though I'm African-American, you may be Italian-American. You may be Vietnamese-American, Korean. You may be Filipino-American. You may be Mexican-American, okay? You may be Arab-American. My country, 'tis of the sweet land of liberty. That's why I can make a webcast like this and criticize her and criticize my silly president for not even watching a speech given in the Congress of his country from the premier of another country. That was a bitch move if I ever heard one before. But I'm sorry for my language. But when you're a man and another man is invited to speak to your Congress in the country, why in the heck aren't you watching it? At least you didn't have to be in Congress Hall, but you could have had one of the TVs on. But the first thing the news said is this clown didn't even watch the speech. I'm sorry for using that language, but that's how I feel about a man that would even hire a gunman to put a bullet in my head because I called him the B word. He's not a man. He embarrasses me. He's trying to be so proper with his communicative lips. This is America, fool. And you back people that are more like you. Listen, what did I tell you a few months ago? I said, I'm going to stop hanging around people less like me because I can't get anything done in their lives. But when I hang around people more like me, I never get tired of them. I love them tremendously more than I love people that are less like me because the people that are less like me annoy me. They perturb me. They disturb me. They disrupt my day. But people that, and I did not say people that agree with me. I said people that are more like me. I don't like people like Obama. Swift talkers, but no walkers. That's that. That's it. That's where a man puts it. This dude got the highest office in the land, and he speaks like a woman. Ladies, please don't get it twisted. I'm talking about the difference of the species. Women are not like men, believe it or not. That's why your homes are falling apart, ladies, because you're trying to take on a man's world and then drop the things that were important, raising Susie not to be a hoe. Oh, but what did he say? He said, bitch and a hoe. He must not like women. Well, your husbands are cowards because they're eating right out of your lap. And you know that you are nothing but a lapdog wife taking them to the poorhouse, going to the mall every week. Oh, my goodness, Pastor John, that you are just terrible. I know they told me that when they booted me out of my church that I pastored because I had a bunch of weaklings and traditionalists around me. Y'all still singing them old 100s in the church? Y'all still teaching those young men how to be toy deacons and officers, teaching them how to do the business in the church under parliamentary procedure? We're not Brits. What's the matter with you? But let me leave that alone. I'm finished with that organization. Because when it's time to stand up, they're not going to stand up. And I know there's a lot of people like me that are disgruntled with the church, but they would never talk about that because they're very superstitious. There was a line in the movie, I watched it with a young man tonight, Apocalypse Now, starring Marlon Brando. There was a part in the movie when he was speaking to the guy that was sent to assassinate him, and he was trying to get the guy to assassinate him with an eased conscience. And he said, your conscience wouldn't bother you if you didn't put judgment in it. And I said, you know, that line was very true. My conscience doesn't bother me because I'm not judging wrongly. I'm judging rightly. See, your conscience only bothers you when you judge wrongfully. But when you judge an institution, a word, a statement, rightfully, because in my conversation with the two young men, they were both on the same side. trying to crucify me. And I said, what I don't like about this conversation is that somebody's holding back some reality, and it's not me, because you don't frighten me. You can't threaten me. You get to, I'm not afraid to die. I know that pain is inevitable if you mess with certain human beings. And so I'm not trying to stay here. I'm not going to say, please don't clobber me to death. I'm going to tell you the truth, young black brothers. Because I'm a... hell, I'm your boy. And I love you. I love every breath you take, every step you take, how you walk, how you think. I want to bring you up to being a dude, a man, the way you should be. I don't want you thinking like your mother. I didn't tell you I didn't want you to love her. I want you to love her, eat her cooking, and under. But you're a grown man now. It's time for you to leave the hut and get out and hunt and make your life work. My goodness. Most of my arguing with these young men that I mentor from time to time comes from them being jealous of Mario. I said he is a poster child because he did the work. And it took me, listen, you people out there complaining about what's going on in our society, you got to come alongside somebody and love them instead of coming alongside, threaten them with the fires of hell. What the hell is the matter with you? I didn't see Jesus doing that. Jesus didn't say, if you don't follow me, you're all going to burn in hell. He didn't say that. But I listened to some of these preachers' sermon, and it sounds like that. I remember when the only ones that he really talked to harsh, read your Bibles. The only people that Jesus ever talked to harshly were the phony, hypocritical religious leaders that was running Israel. And he'd speak the same way to the phony, hypocritical religious leaders that are hailing most of the pulpits, plus the women in this country. And God has never called a woman to usurp authority over a man. That is a Bible. This is what I can't understand. These people going to church, jumping up and down, speaking in tongues, got false female prophets in front of them every Sunday, and then said, wasn't the Holy Ghost in this room? I don't know what kind of a man you think I am, but you think I'm a fool born in the back of a rock somewhere? God would never call a woman to do something that there are good men to do. There's a lot of men like me that think like me, would love a platform to speak on. The only thing is they don't have the talent or the ability to do what I do. Some of them tried. That's why they tried to steal my identity. Oh, I can do what he does. They all tried it. Check it out. They all fail. Not one of those boys that I had in that booth with me, except for Zarek, Steve, Reamer, none of those boys ever got a radio show of their own and did everything with any lasting purpose. Just one. And see, this doesn't take, and you know me, I'm a small little man. I don't have muscles all over me. I'm not ready to fight. I don't have money to take anybody to court. If I ever go to court, I'll lose everything that I never had. Did you hear what I said? If I ever go to court against one of these religious pimps, I would lose everything I never have. That means that they would take what I have and that I never had and keep me busted and pushing a basket cart in downtown in Skid Row. But guess what I do? Guess what I do? How far does love extend? I'd start preaching to them. I'd have me a Skid Row church. Yes, I would. A Skid Row church in the park. That's what I'd have. That's what I'd be. That's who I'd be preaching to. I'd have more people. The police would have to come around there and break it up and say, oh, man, what are you doing? I says, I'm giving my brothers and my sisters the word of God. Will you deny me that right to do that in this park? And that policeman would say, well, no, pastor, because I'm going to have my collar on. I'm always a pastor. It's just that the audience that go to church ain't listening. Now, what did Jesus say about that? He said, if they won't hear you, shake the dust off your feet and go into the highways and the byways. Well, what God did is he sent me to the college. Sent me to the college. I was so overjoyed today. I got home. I'm looking at my mail. And it's, my goodness, Man, they have me working this semester and next semester. I just praise God. And I'm the classes that I love to teach the most, world religions and intro to philosophy. I could not be happier. Happier. I love it. How far does love extend for you, my friend? How far will you go? Do you live in a religious community? Will you love everybody in that community where you are? Will you love them? It's not about denomination. It's not about what the name of your church is. That phony stuff was started by biased European mindsets. I'm just telling you like it is. You better stop following people that's going to lie about the Christ that you say you serve. I've said it and I say it again, and I want to make this perfectly clear. I do not worship in my mind a God that has blue eyes and blonde hair. No. He doesn't look like any of the pictures that I see in the Vatican or in no church or on a stained glass window. Because if you really had a picture of God up there, there would be nothing for you to see. Nothing. That is why when Jesus walked this earth, there wasn't no cameras and no artists that said, well, let's draw a picture of him. He must have looked like this. Oh, no. Jesus wasn't a man that was trying to get over with what he looked like. See, that's Hollywood. Well, he's got to have watery blue eyes. See, that's what the Germans thought when they were trying to kill all the dark-haired, dark-eyed Judas. That's bigotry, racism, in the way, wait, somebody even told me that the Queen of England and her crew are supposed to be descendants from the Christ child. That's an abomination and a lie from the very pit. I don't know, and I'd say the same thing if someone said that about my offspring or my family. Because when you defend God, you defend him with words like that. Don't believe this mess. Oh, how far does love extend? It'll tell you some things that'll rock your boat. Yes, it will. Don't get that twisted. I recall once, well, it only happened once. What am I talking about? When my wife died and passed away, one of the idiots in the church asked me what my feelings about God was. I just remember saying something like, you need to get the heck out of my face, boy. Because if you think the death of my wife is going to make me change my view about my Creator. And then I quoted a scripture. I said, who was it? Job said that if he kills me, yet will I trust him. How far does love extend? My wife was recovering from open heart surgery. My daughter was stricken with blindness in one eye, and in UCLA Medical Center, they had called me and said they're going to cut off all of her hair and go into the brain because they think she had a brain stroke. That's all documented. True stuff. True stuff. If you ever speak to my daughter, ask her. She'll tell you. My wife and I were on the freeway because I had to move slow with Lucy. She had just gotten out of the hospital from having open heart surgery. And then got the word, oh, no, I told my wife. She said, what is it? I said, Leslie was with Delia on the campus at UCLA. Delia collapsed. They took her, and this is what the prognosis is. And they want to see us to sign the paper for permission to cut. We're on the freeway on the way down there. I've told you many times. And Lucy was saying, well, maybe God wants to kill us all. And I said, maybe. And I told her, I'm trying to think of what did I do wrong? And then I started praying out loud. The traffic was horrendous on the 405 going north on a Saturday afternoon. And I just said, Lord, kill us. Wipe out my name, my baby's name, everything. Destroy all the property that I have. Let me go out as dust and manure. If you want to take the life of my daughter, so be it. Let it be done. My wife was next to me saying, amen, amen. Because you see, when you got people that love God, you talk to him that way. You talk to him. How far does love go? You don't be talking. No. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You ain't praying, fool. You better get real with it. I had one of my college students tell me, oh, Mr. Coleman, everybody dies. Why is everybody afraid of it? I said, boy, you need to be a member of my new church. That's what I told him. I said, you know that. He said, why would anybody think that they can stay here? He said, I have on an $8 t-shirt, Mr. Coleman, and I am very happy with this t-shirt. And he said, I don't know why people go to these malls and spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. That boy brought guilt on me because I had never had a t-shirt like I saw it, and I bought it. And I paid $130 for it. Has a nice design on it. I call it my Socrates shirt. But that boy made me feel embarrassed that I had spent that money on myself. But I did it because I felt like nobody loved me, so I had to love myself. And no, for my friends that send me $5 or $10, no. I bought that one day after I got paid. See? And I shouldn't have spent it on that, but sometimes I get weak. I get weak just like you do. See, I talk a good line, but at least I'm truthful about mine. I'm not holding anything back. Take your love to the furthest degree. Take it to its maximum impact. My goodness, do something that is going to be surprisingly adequate to please God. Not going to end up with music tonight. Don't have to do it. I think that I've gotten the point over. How far do you extend it? You take it to the highest hilt. What is it? 36 minutes. I only wanted it to be 30 minutes. I'm sorry that it's so late, but I had to perfect love. And I'm glad that I waited, because when the young man came by and he said, you won't even give me a hug. He wanted me to touch him. See, because I said, oh, man, yeah, I told you I love you. I'm your mentor. I love you. But, you know, I kind of, you know, he went to hug, and I kind of step aside. Let me go to another place. Now, if he was not a real protege of mine, he would have said nothing. He would have let the Cold War persist. That was a test. Because I knew he wanted me to hug him. I was in my office. The other person was in another room. He wanted that to be private. No, when we got to the other room and the other person was there, he said, John. And I said, what is it? And he said, you won't even give me a hug back, man. Give me a hug back. And I said, oh, you want a hug from me? Oh, you want to know that I love you. Oh, well, boy, you should have told me that. And I grabbed him and I let him know and went right through him. You could feel him melt in my arms. And I whispered in his ear, boy, I said I love you. I don't lie. I don't lie. And when you touch a person and love a person, listen to me, those of you that's never done this in your life. Listen. And for those of you that think I'm talking about sex, you are stupid of stupidity. That's your problem. You look at too much TV and your brain has been unplugged from reality. Oh, my God. Only persons that love God knows what that is. And those of you people that call yourselves Christian and godly people, it is a sickening thing that you... I'm still talking about this subject matter and I can't move on. And that's why we're so messed up in this country. And if anybody ever finds you wrong in a conversation, and I'm not talking to my logic students, I'm not... But if anybody ever finds you wrong in a conversation, admit to you being wrong. Get over it quick. Recover quick. Don't hold. Let me tell you something. I'm teaching in Philosophy 1, Thomas Aquinas' five ways to get to know God and all that, if there's a God and everything. Every year when I teach that, I think of Aquinas' arguments and I put my little twist on it. You know how I know God exists? Let me tell you how I know God exists. I go to him and I ask him daily in my prayers, first of all, will you look away from the stupid things that I do, from the things that brings shame to your name? And then I tell him, me, I'm full of shame because I'm no way or where close to the divine. I would hope that I would appease the divine by speaking with him in prayer as I humble myself and bow myself down as a slave to him. Now, this is why I say that. Don't let it offend you. I don't mean a slave in the sense that I starred in the movie Glory and I was a slave in the white man's house. I don't mean that. I meant a slave to what he's put on my heart to be. See, I believe that Jehovah, and I believe that there's only one God, there's not many, there's only one. We're coming at him from different ways and different cultures and different everything else like that, but we all coming at him. If you don't believe it, I had a great time in world religions because I'm showing the movie Apocalypto, and the people are praying to their God all through the movie, and I'm reminding the youngsters, keep it in mind, this isn't Christianity. This was before Christianity came to the island, and these people were talking about their gods, asking for mercy from them. And I'm saying, do you find that coincidental or an accident? Or is this a Darwinian quirk? Well, it just happened by chance. No, it didn't. They were worshiping the same God that you'd asked to take care of your babies if you had a rope and a board upside your behind going over a river and your babies told you, we met some other babies from another tribe and we'll take care of them the way, Mama, you took care of us. And she asked her God to take care of her babies and have mercy on her babies. Now, you tell me. Because I pray to God every day of my life to let me love people and help people. My dear son told me, you got to leave some of these guys alone, John. They're going to wear you out. Love never wear. You can't wear love out. Ooh, I should make a webcast out of that, shouldn't I? You cannot wear love out. Yeah, try that. You never wear it out. I'm going to have to call my daughters and tell them the truth. I'm going to have to call them. You go ahead, have my funeral the way you girls want to have my funeral, because the people that love me is coming to my funeral. They can hear anything they want to hear. And I'm going to tell y'all now, if you hear it at that funeral and my daughter said it, it was true. I'm going to tell you right now, it was true. That is who I am. That does not take away the love that I have for you. I'm going to still love you as the world turns. They had a TV show like that, didn't it? As the world turns, I'm still going to be here and be your soap opera, your soapbox speaker. The old guy talking on the big mic, doing it like it should be done, because ain't nobody else going to do it. And I don't want to talk with you like your great-grandfather or your grandfather. I don't even want to be your papa. I want to talk with you like, you know, call me Uncle John. Uncle John is talking again. Uncle John loves you. Yeah, but Uncle John, you ain't never seen me. How can you love me? Say, let me come near you, boy. I'll show you how much I love you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. See, because I can't be their daddy. Their daddy's dropped them somewhere along the way. Just dropped them. Oh, get out of here, boy. You'll never be no good. Y'all know, y'all remember that song? Get out of here. You'll never be nothing. Man, my daddy would look at me because he didn't like what he saw, you know, all the time. And then when I got my degrees and accomplished something in life, he spoke to my mentor and he said, I'm glad you can do something with him because I sure couldn't. My daddy never hugged me right. He never loved me right. Never. He told me that he loved me one time. I was a grown man. I was in this house with my wife, two little children, and he hugged me and told me he's so proud of me that I made well in my life. Well, I'd earned 3 degrees, you know, working my butt off every day, going to work, still working for the LAPD, doing what I had to do. And he told me he was proud of me. What did he think? I was going to end up on dope or something? Or on a corner? Trying to buy something? Why you talk to me like that? You should have said from the day I had you, baby boy, come here and give daddy some sugar. That's what he should have said to me. I'm talking to you men that got an opportunity to take love beyond where it is, because that's all we got. If anything happens, if anything transpires and changes, we ain't got nothing else but love. That's all we got. So think about latching on to it, holding on tight. All right, I've spoken enough. My goodness, what is it? I got 45 minutes. If I keep, you know, I can talk all night, and it's getting late. Here in the Lucy Coleman studio, it is 10:29. That is usually when my head hits the pillow at 10:30. So I'm going to be up another 10 minutes because I got to upload this to the website. I want to thank you for coming to the website and paying attention to me as I just talk with you about these things. And I hope that with the power and strength of God in your life that you'll be able to do it. If I've offended any of you with my language, I am from the depths of my heart seriously sorry that I hurt you, but I'm living in Central City, and if I don't use the language of the people that I live around, I'm not exegeting it properly. And you have to exegete it properly to people to get them to be angry at you. Yes, that's a role of the preacher, to get the people angry. Because the preacher knows, as the seer, that the people are not going to listen the first time, the second time, or the third time. That's why they keep going back and back. This old man just got burnt out. I got burnt out, man. And I'm better this way in my studio when the house is empty and I'm all alone. And only God is watching me and listening to me. I feel better doing this. But I love you guys. I don't know who's listening to me. But know that this man loves you tremendously. I just can't express it when I'm around most of you. I can't. They would lock me up. I just thought about myself. If I actually love, I would see the dean walking down the hall and I'd say, hello, Dean, how are you? Oh, I love you so much. Come here, give me a hug. Nah, they'd lock me up. They would think that I am extremely abnormal. And that's the weight that love is given in this society. Well, how far does love extend? Far enough to say that I've spoken enough. God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay into the Word.